Would you please stand in honor of hearing God's word? Hear this reading from Jeremiah chapter 17, 7 through 9. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Well, church, let's go ahead and give Grant, Lore, and our other graduates thanks. And give God praise. Give God praise this graduation Sunday. Well, last week we heard Chris Morgan kick us off in the sermon series on half-truths. And he shared with us how Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is often misused and abused and misquoted. I'm reminded in Scripture there's a lot of times when the evil one will speak a half-truth. I'm reminded in the wilderness when Jesus was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights that he tuned out the voice of the devil who spoke a half-truth. You can turn that stone into bread. And Jesus tuned his heart into towards the voice of the Heavenly Father, the one who said, "You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Well, this morning we have another half-truth we're going to take a look at. Are you ready for it? It's follow your heart. Follow your heart. Now, when I hear this half-truth, follow your heart, I can't help but think about in 2008, I was a middle schooler. Yeah, I'm young, all right? And I was wearing my surfer seashell necklace, my skateboard shoes, and my skateboard sweatbands. I was smelling of Calvin Klein cologne and Axe body spray. I had my big reflective aviators to make sure people knew how cool I was, even though they were falling off of my face. And I was getting ready to make my grand entrance into the YMCA middle school dance. And guess what song I was about to make my entrance into with? Listen to Your Heart by DHT. It's a great song. Its lyrics are very deep. It's listen to your heart when it's calling for you. Listen to your heart. There's nothing else you can do. There's, nowhere you can go but listen to your heart. And so as the speakers boomed and I was walking in, I knew, as a matter of fact, that I was the center of the universe. But for some reason, the other people in the room, they didn't get the memo. It turned out, I found out later, every middle school boy thought they were the middle of the universe. So how does that work? And so I walk in and I have this excitement and this confidence, and yet, even with the powerful message of this song, I was following my heart and I was empty inside. I found hollowness deep down inside. And so what do you think of when you hear the idea, follow your heart? What do you think of? I mean, there's a lot of songs or movies or messaging that we hear all the time. Here's one, Disney's Pinocchio. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true, right? The Sound of Music, follow every rainbow till you find your dream. Or Braveheart, I really like Braveheart. See, this is gonna sting a little bit. Your heart is free, have the courage to follow it. Or there's quotes from celebrities like Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, who said, there's no reason not to follow your heart. Or get this, Celine Dion, who said, if you follow your heart, I don't think you can go wrong. And if that's not enough, there's even televangelists, like one who's known to have said often, the heart is right. The heart is right. But you see, in reality, following your heart looks less like Aladdin and Jasmine on that flying carpet ride, you know, in that Disney movie. It looks more like the Wicked Witch of the West snickering at Dorothy. It looks more like the Joker scheming against Batman. It looks more like Judas eyeing the 30 pieces of silver. That's following your heart. You see, in truth, our hearts are really more like servants than sergeants. In reality, they're more like galleries than guides. They're more like radio receivers than a radio personality. Our hearts are not supposed to lead us. They're supposed to be led. Our hearts are not supposed to be guides to the truth, but guardians to the truth. And yet, from all the messaging in our culture, following your heart gives us a guise of truth, but not the guidance of truth. Following your heart gives a guise of truth, but not guidance in truth. And what is truth? Remember Pilate asked that? Scripture says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. And unless our hearts are aligned with him, they'll lead us into all kinds of destruction and depravity. Back in our scripture readings, we just heard Grant read Jeremiah 17, verse 9. We hear this. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? The human heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's the translation we're used to hearing. Keep your finger at there, Jeremiah 17. We're going to come back. But there's this biblical principle of original sin, of human depravity, that our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are deceitful. But that's not the way the story started. Right, if you go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis and you go to the garden, you have a God who out of his great love scooped up the dust of the earth, breathed into it the breath of life, and then he formed us and he formed our heart. And what does it say in Genesis 1? That when he created man and woman, he said, it's very good. So he formed our hearts good, but before we could skip a beat at the fall, our hearts were deceitful. And our hearts became deformed. Our hearts became deformed. About 20 years ago, my parents bought one of the first GPSs. And at that point, it was like a 4-pound brick and you needed a sandbag to get it to stay on the dashboard. Some of y'all are nodding. And so we thought it was awesome, man. This thing's going to tell us everywhere to go and it's always going to be right and it's always going to get us there on time. We don't need MapQuest. Remember printing those out? We don't need physical maps. We got this awesome GPS, right? And so it worked really pretty well. We went on a ski trip, my dad and brother and I. We went to the mountains of North Carolina to Boone, and we had a great time skiing. But on our way back, things changed, right? We followed the guidance in the GPS. It worked on the way there. And on the way home, it led us on this paved road, and out of nowhere, it turned to gravel. We didn't expect that. And then it went from two lanes to one lane. What's with that? And then it went from gravel to dirt. And then it went from dirt to snowy grass until we saw a sign. We thought, this is going to be a sign to get us back where we need to go, right? And it said, maintenance road ends here. And it was at that point that my brother shouted, Dad, look! And we turned around and we saw that if we kept going just 10, 20 more feet, we'd be on a snowy cliff off to the mountain, to the mountainside. So we knew that at that moment, it ain't working, right? It ain't working. Who's ever had a GPS fail on them? It ain't working, right? It could be your GPS, your Garmin. It could be Google Maps. It could be Apple Maps. Whatever one you've used, it's misled us. It's misguided us, right, and led us astray. These devices we use, they can be helpful to a certain point, but at some point, the way they navigate us actually leads us into trouble. They're imperfect, they're flawed, and they're sometimes even unaligned with our best interests. And if this is true with our digital navigational systems, it's even more true with our internal navigational system, our heart. Unless it's aligned with God and with the truth of Holy Scripture and with the Holy Spirit, it's going to lead us astray into all kinds of peril and danger. All kinds of peril and danger. And so, our hearts are deformed and deceitful. You look, our GPSs are great, and they work a lot of the time. But eventually, we have to be careful, and we realize that the flaws can catch up with us. Same with our hearts. Sometimes, there's flashing lights on the dashboards of our soul, and we realize that we're being led on a road to destruction instead of the road to life. And so our hearts are deformed and deceitful. There's three ways I want to look at how our hearts are deformed and deceitful. The first is that our heart is divided. Second, our heart is inconsistent. And third, our heart is delusional. So first, our heart is divided. Now, those of you who've been doing the Bible recap, you know about a month ago we were in the book of Joshua. And most of us have heard this verse before, Joshua 24, where it says, where Joshua's talking to all of Israel and says, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Now, Joshua was saying this to all the people of Israel, and he was saying it to them because they had a divided heart. Their hearts were divided from within and from without. Individually, their hearts were divided, and across the whole nation, they were divided. They were following all kinds of false gods, Baal and Asherah. They were following all these other ways, all these other paths, but they all led to destruction. And it caused Joshua, by the Spirit of the Lord, to prompt the people and ask them, make a decision. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? And maybe God is asking some of us that question this morning. You see, those Israelites then and many today want to follow their heart instead of lead their heart to Jesus. So our hearts are inconsistent. Jesus says you will either serve God or you'll serve mammon. And we've seen plenty of examples of people's hearts being divided on that. You think of stories like Judas Iscariot or even Absalom, right, who want to serve power instead of serving God. So our hearts are divided. Secondly, our hearts are inconsistent. Our hearts are inconsistent. You don't have to look much farther than the Apostle Peter. Scripture gives us Peter as an example of the fact that our hearts are inconsistent. One moment he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the next moment, he denies him three times. He leaves Jesus at his hour of need. I never knew him. I never knew him, right? Or think about the Apostle Thomas, right, who says, I will go with you, Jesus, and I will die with you. And you go a couple more pages, and he's not there at the cross with Jesus. And then even when Jesus comes in his resurrection, Thomas is doubtful and hiding in a corner. So I've been here in the Midlands for just under a year. My wife is from Colombia, and she's teaching me something really important about the Midlands. She's teaching me, look, when you hear that weatherman, I just want you to know he's not always right. In fact, when he says it's going to snow, go ahead and prepare as if it's not. Prepare both ways, because it could not. You know, the weatherman is inconsistent, so is our heart. Right? Our hearts don't have the perseverance or the forbearance or the patience required to serve God faithfully. It's because of sin. It's because our hearts are deceitful and wicked. Who can know how bad it is? Lastly, our hearts are delusional. So they're divided, they're inconsistent, and they're delusional. A great example of this in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting and killing Christians until on the Damascus Road, Jesus appeared to him and said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? You know, often in our culture, we'll hear people say, well, you know, as long as you're sincere and you're following your heart, that's all right. As long, you know, and how many graduation speeches have I heard? You know, just follow your heart, and if you're just true to your own passions and your own heart and you're sincere, well, that's good. Well, Paul was certainly sincere, and he killed Christians. He was certainly sincere, and he was a religious terrorist. You know who else is sincere? Abusers and villains, and yet their hearts are filled with deceit and delusion. Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We are deceitful and our hearts are delusional. And we can see this in everyday examples. Let me give you some. I know none of you in the room, this has ever happened to you. I just want to give you an example if you ever meet anyone like this. Let's say you're driving on the road and, you know, you get a little upset and it turns out that you think, your heart is telling you that everyone on the road is against you. And so you got to start honking at them and start, you know, having some gestures, maybe waving at them, right? And our hearts are lying to us in that moment. We're delusional. We're self-conceited. Maybe we get a letter from the IRS and our hearts stop and we feel like our life is over. But many times, really, our heart is lying to us. Maybe we're driving, maybe even hopefully not this morning, and we can't find a parking spot, and our heart's telling us, you'll never find one. And our hearts are lying to us. Maybe when we see someone who votes differently than us or believes differently than us, we think that our hearts tell us we're better than they are, and our hearts are lying to us. Maybe we get in an argument with someone, for example, you know, about who last touched the thermostat. I mean, no one's ever had that one. And you say, look, I must be totally right, and they must be totally wrong, and you bet you got it. Our hearts are lying to us. Or maybe we open up Facebook, we look at Instagram, we see something, and our heart sinks, and we're brought into a place of hopelessness, and we lose our trust and our faith in God, and our hearts are lying to us. Or maybe if we were to abuse drink or substances, our hearts would tell us that we're greater or funnier than others, or that we should do things that we otherwise knew we shouldn't have done, and our hearts are lying to us. They're deceitful and lying to us. You don't even have to teach a child to lie, or for that matter, to steal or cheat or strike another. As great as my son is, I'm learning that he, like me, has been born into original sin. Our hearts are deformed and in need of a Savior who can renew us and redeem us. So here's the deal. Our culture says, follow your heart, follow your dreams, follow your passions. Our culture essentially is telling us, your heart is the center of the world. But here's what the gospel tells us. The gospel tells us our heart is not the center of the world. Our heart is our central means of experiencing, get this, experiencing God's world. Our heart's not the center of the world, but our heart is our central means of experiencing God's world. Maybe that's what Jesus meant when he said, blessed are the pure in spirit, pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. You see, the Bible presents the heart, and the ancient world saw the heart as the seat of the emotions, the seat of the will and the intellect and emotions. But unless Christ, who's enthroned at God's right hand, unless he's enthroned on our hearts, you know what's going to happen to our hearts? They're going to be filled with emptiness. We're going to feel hollow. They're going to be filled with deceit and sorrow. But only God can take our hollow hearts and make them whole. Only God can take our hollow hearts and make them whole. When my family moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Charlotte, North Carolina, my dad loved listening to the AM radio on his way to work. And so adjusting to Charlotte, he was going to be a Carolina Panthers fan. That worked out for time. And maybe that time has passed, but he started listening to the Panthers and changing his radio stations. But he found something really, really interesting. He found that at the dark of night or in the dark of the dawn, pre-dawn morning, he found that as he's scanning the channels and he's turned that dial and he heard all the static, he could just get enough to hear WTAN 1100, which is the Cleveland radio station. You see, the signal, the voice from his past was catching up with him in his present. The voice of his past was catching up with his present. You see, our hearts not only are navigational systems that lead us astray like a GPS, our hearts are also like a radio receiver. And man, we're receiving all kinds of messages all the time, aren't we? We're receiving all kinds of messages, not only on our phones and screens, although we are, right? Not only on billboards or commercials, although we are, but even in the deep recesses of our hearts, we're getting all kinds of messages, all kinds of signals, and all kinds of interference. One year, my dad decided, you know what? I don't want to do AM radio anymore. I want to get XM radio because I'm going to be able to get the masters that way. So he did that, and he disconnected from everything else, and he connected to a new source from above. Friends, that's where we are. We need to disconnect from all these other voices and connect to our Heavenly Father, connect to the voice of Scripture and the Holy Spirit to be our true compass. One of my favorite hymns is Come Thou Fount, and I love that line in the first verse, Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. In other words, our hearts can be tuned. which presupposes they can be tuned to the wrong channel as well. Our hearts are like dusty radios that we need God to clean up and to reclaim and to disconnect from the wrong source and to turn and to adjust to his station, to his voice, to his frequency. In our culture, we hear all kinds of voices. And I don't know about you, but throughout my life, on the day of my ordination, on the day of my high school graduation, I heard all kinds of voices tell me things like this. Maybe the voice of self-sufficiency who says, you don't need anyone else, especially not God. You can do it yourself. Go for it. What voices have you heard in the silence of the night or in that pre-dawn morning? Maybe you hear the voice of instant gratification. It feels good now. Do it. Seize the day. It's yours. Grab it for yourself. It's like the voice Adam and Eve heard in the garden. Maybe we hear the voice of comparison. Look how much better they're doing. Look at the things they have. Look at how they have their life together. I have nothing. I am nothing. Or maybe it's the voice of fear and anxiety. Disaster's always around the corner. I can't trust anyone. I'm alone, and no one loves me. I might as well follow my own heart. But God is calling us in another way. He's calling us in another way. So the dial of our heart will either be tuned to the static, to the self, or to the satanic, or tuned to the Savior. There's no other option. It'll either be tuned to the self, the static, the satanic, or tuned to the Savior. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he heard all kinds of voices, but he had to tune all of that out to focus on what God had just said to him, you are my beloved. He had to focus on God's word for him, and so do we. I love what the Christian writer John Bloom says about our hearts. He says this, our hearts were never designed to be followed, but to be led. Our hearts were never designed to be gods in whom we believed. They were designed to believe in God. Our hearts were never designed to be followed, but to be led. Our hearts were never designed to be gods in whom we believed. They were designed to believe in God. Our hearts are not sergeants telling us what to do. They're servants to follow God. So don't follow your heart, but lead your heart to Jesus. Only he can take your hollow heart and make it whole. If we return to Jeremiah 17, verse 10, it says this, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I, the Lord, search the hearts and examine secret motives. Who's ever had a problem with their phone? They take it to the store and they say, we got to wipe all the memory out. We got to start over, right? In order to fix it, we need to wipe everything out and then start anew. That's what the Lord wants to do with our heart. My dad and I, with our GPS that didn't work, we thought, look, we got to do something. It ain't working because otherwise we're going to go off the cliff next time. And so we had to disconnect from the computer or from the car, plug into the computer, and the first thing it wanted us to do is wipe the memory clean. Wipe the memory clean. Jesus Christ is giving us an opportunity to wipe the memory of our sins clean, right? To wipe away all of our wicked ways, to wipe away all of our past and to put us on a new path with him, that he might be the heart of our hearts, that he might be the king of our hearts. And so our hearts must be reformed and dissected. Our hearts must be reformed and dissected. And this happens at the cross. You see, at the fall, our hearts were deformed, but at the cross, our hearts can be reformed. Our hearts can be reformed. It's one of the greatest honors that I have as a pastor to be a part of baptism and to celebrate these children this morning and celebrate around with these families as we got to witness how God connected these children into his life, to speak his voice over them and his blessing over them. That even by the fall that all of us have deformed hearts, even as he created our hearts good, that in baptism we get to see how God is at work beginning to reform us. What a joy that is. And this graduation Sunday, I celebrate Grant and our other graduates that we are claimed in Christ at baptism and we're commissioned. We're commissioned and given a mission. Grant and our other graduates have a mission to make mature and mobilize disciples wherever they go next. And I just want to share with graduates this morning, God is with you, and he's giving you a new identity, a new plan, and he's giving you his own life. Jesus died on the cross that you might have new life. So whatever fears you have, Scripture says God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-control, and that's what God has for you this morning. Well, our hearts, without God, our hearts are hollow. They're empty. And more than that, they're deceitful. They're wicked above all things. Who can know it? And we need divine intervention. The book of Ezekiel tells us how God is going to take our stony hearts and he's going to give us a heart of flesh and fill us with a spirit. And he's going to write his law on our hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but if something was written on my heart, I think it would hurt a little bit. Yeah, not only a little bit. God actually wants to put us under the surgical sword of his spirit. He wants to do surgical grace. He wants to work his surgical grace in our lives, and it's going to hurt. We have hollow hearts, and the only way we're going to have whole hearts is that he, the divine physician, needs to do heart surgery on us. So first, we're called to admit it ain't working, but we don't stop there. We surrender ourselves to the healer of hearts and the worker of miracles. And when we come before him, we come before the one who loves us the most, who knows us the best, who embraces us at our worst. But when he writes on our hearts, it's going to hurt just a little bit. The apostle Peter, as he preaches in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes down on the day of Pentecost and the multitudes come to faith in Jesus Christ, as he preaches that Jesus died and he rose, he was disconnected from everything, from his family, from his friends. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was disconnected that we might be connected. He was forsaken that we might be found. And as Peter preaches that message, here's what it says. It says, Peter's words, get this, pierced their hearts. It cut them to the heart, pierced their hearts. And they said to him and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? When it ain't working, what should we do, God? And he pierces our hearts. And then he says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, our culture says, just follow your heart. It's just easy and it's fun and it's comfortable and just you do you. I can't stand that. You do you. It's your truth. You do whatever you want. But the gospel says, no, Jesus says, come, follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. We can't expect to sing hallelujah on Easter without following him on that long road of Good Friday to the cross. He says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, die to your sin, let me do surgery on your heart, write my law on your heart, and then, and only then, you will have a new heart. You will have a new heart. So church, be disciplined by the Spirit and not deceived by the static. Be disciplined by the Spirit and not deceived by the static. If we look back at Jeremiah 17 in closing, it gives us this great promise. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. You see, first, we admit that it ain't working. And then we need God to wipe clean the memory of our hearts, the memory of our sins, all of our past life. The old Adam needs to die. The flesh needs to die. But we don't stop there. We don't stop there. Then he gives us hope and confidence. The Lord is our hope and our confidence. And he plants us like trees along the riverbank with roots stretching deep into the water. You see, Jesus hung on a tree. And he said, I am the vine, you are the branches, so that we might be connected into his life, that our roots might go into the living waters of the Holy Spirit. If we follow our hearts, we'll be left hollow, but if we follow Jesus, we'll be made whole. I love this great hope that we find in Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a steadfast spirit within me. You see, follow your heart's a half-truth because as Psalm 37 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And sometimes we misquote that. But if you get that first part of the verse, that's the key. If you delight yourself in the Lord, if our hearts align with his heart, if our will and our desires are aligned with his, he wants to give us the desires of our hearts. He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. And the desires of our hearts are to know him and to be known by him. Amen. To enter into the kingdom of God, right? The glory of Christ, the glory of God is Christ in you. That is our hope. That is our desire. Years ago, there was a 9-year-old boy named Max who was a healthy boy, liked to play soccer, good choice, liked to run around the yard and play games until they found out that he had a deadly heart condition. And the family was scrambling, and the families, their heart were just breaking for him. They didn't know what to do until they got a phone call. They found out that there's this little girl named Kira. And Kira had a fatal accident, but she and her family decided that they wanted to be organ donors. And so Max received Kira's heart. And the transplant went successful, and everything was going well. And Max went from being bedridden to being blessed by God and having a new life and new vitality. And then one day, Kira's family called Max's family. They scheduled a visit, and Kira's parents got to listen on a stethoscope to Max's chest as they heard the signature heartbeat of Kira. You see, Jesus Christ died for us. He gave it all for us so that we might have a new heart, so that when others listen to our heartbeat, when others see our lives, they hear the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. We can't offer them ourselves. I can't offer other people me. I can only offer them Christ. If I'm going to offer them me, I got nothing to give. I got nothing to give. If it's up to me, I don't have hope in myself. I don't have hope in man. I don't have hope in riches. I don't have hope in man's praise. I have hope in the Lord. I have hope in the Lord. And so this morning, I want to invite you to submit your hearts to God and allow Christ to examine your heart in regular times of prayer. We're prayer-driven. Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. I want to invite you to disconnect from the static of our world and tune the dial of your heart to Scripture. I want to invite you to surrender your heart to him and make Christ the king of your heart, to serve him maybe at VBS, maybe in Columbia Worship Gatherings. But I can tell you this, that we will continue to find heartache until we discover Christ's heartbeat. We will continue to reel from heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak until we hear the Holy Spirit's heart cry. So won't you come to Christ, the Lord of our hearts, the heart of all creation, and follow him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die and rise for us. Lord, that we were on a path that leads to destruction, that we were on a path that led to condemnation. But Lord, you took our sin, you took our debt, you took our shame, you took our guilt, and you hung it on the cross where you hung there for us. And Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And right now we say, come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, invade our lives, break through our situations. Lord, that you might be our vision, that you might be our wisdom, that you might be the ruler of all, not only us individually, but also our families, not only our families, but our church, not only our church, but our community, not only our community, but our country. Lord, guide us. We need you. We love you. And we are nothing without you. We pray this in the most perfect name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.